We have letters in our files from the Juvenile Rights Project, who's been very helpful on the whole package of bills that deal with juvenile justice, and especially they've been very helpful with the issue of juvenile sex offenses, both victim and offender, to help us sort of clear through this problem. Their concern is that because of the strong feelings about sex offenses, we won't use these as a tool for sex offenders. What will happen is that a child's obligation on other matters in informal disposition would become far longer in duration than if the child was adjudicated to be under the court's jurisdiction and placed on probation. So really, in a way, what we're creating here is a disincentive for informal disposition and an incentive to go to adjudication. It's kind of like PSRB, has done, in a sense, when the period of supervision under PSRB is longer than your potential sentence. You might as well take up space in the system. And so my concern here is that maybe we're not hitting the target, and without any any intent to impact all those other cases that we haven't talked about, the little cases, the playground fights, the poorly thought out episodes in the grocery store or the 7-Eleven or wherever the shoplift took place, we're extending the time on those informal dispositions to the extent where we won't be able to use that tool so often. So I will be a no vote again today.
Thank you, Representative Allen. Representative Edmondson.
Moves House Bill 2413A engrossed as amended to the full.
Thank you, Representative Edmondson. Moves House Bill 2413 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
No.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2413 as amended is passed to the floor. Representative Edmondson, to be so kind as to carry that. Thank you very much.
Yes,
close the work session on House Bill 2413. Open the work session on House Bill 2519. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm currently under ORS 109-119. Non-parents or psychological parents are able to seek custody and visitation rights. And 109-121 allows grandparents to seek visitation rights. However, those statutes do not specifically provide the court with authority to modify the orders granted under those statutes. What House Bill 2519, as amended, does would give that court express authority. There are Dash 1 amendments. One of the things that the committee did do, I will note, is remove the ability to award attorney's fees under this provision.
Thank you, Council. Is there a discussion on House Bill 2519? Representative Vice Chair Mason.
Yes, well, the pulling out of the attorney's fees is probably a memorial to one of the most wonderful, ridiculous statements ever made in the committee, and that was, attorney's fees are really for the benefit of children. which we disagreed with. But.
My kids agree with that.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Mannix.
So in mine, let me put that on the record.
We need to amend the bill here, and I move the Dash 1 amendments because they're slightly different in language, just technically different from the amendments that can be made.
He is correct.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Representative Mannix moves the amendments to House Bill 2519, the Dash 1 amendments. Is there objection to the motion? If not, they are adopted. Is there a further motion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mannix.
I move House Bill 2519 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2519 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye, House Bill 2519 as amended is passed to the floor. Representative Parks?
Thank you.
Do you mind carrying that bill? Thank you very much. Close the work session on House Bill 2519. Open the work session on Senate Bill 387. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 387 is basically a housekeeping measure. It allows a domestic relations court to enter a decree of annulment or dissolution by default after the respondent has appeared and waived further court appearances. There's currently kind of a hole in the statute in terms of if you don't show, you can take a default order. If you make an appearance, you have to continue appearing or pretend like you're no longer appearing, basically. And this codifies current practice and allows a person to waive further appearances.
Thank you, Counsel. Is this housekeeping in the sense the one we dealt with on the floor this morning was? Is there a further discussion of Senate Bill 387?
To the floor. To pass. Unamended?
Thank you. Unamended.
Unamended.
Thank you. Representative Vice Chair Mason moves Senate Bill 387 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 387 is passed to the floor. Representative Sinceri would be glad to carry this bill. Thank you very much. Close the work session on Senate Bill 387. Open the work session on House Bill 2593. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2593 comes to you from the Family Justice Subcommittee. What it does is allow the personal representative of a decedent's estate to bring an action for the benefit of a step-parent, step-child, or legal guardian who may be entitled for compensation for the loss of their family member or ward. I would point out for the committee's edification that this bill was introduced last session at the request of Representative Van Leeuwen, made it through the House in the waning days of the session, and was an idea that was adopted by another group.
Thank you, Council. Representative Clark?
Just wanted to point out that we noticed in subcommittee this may be the only bill that has ever been introduced by Representative Van Leeuwen and was subsequently picked up and proposed by the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association.
Oh, good.
Further comments? Representative Edmondson?
Also sponsored by Representative Campbell, Durfler, Gilmore, Hayden, Hugo, D.E. Jones, McTeague, Nelson, Norris, Parkinson, Pickard,
last
Roberts,
session.
And Young. So it came with a great pedigree from the last session.
Well, thank you for that rehabilitation. Are there...
or resuscitation.
Is there further discussion on House Bill 2593 unamended? Representative Johnson.
I don't support this bill. I think it's probably self-evident why. I don't think we need to extend these kinds of benefits to people who don't see fit to adopt children. There's a procedure already in place. If somebody wants to see that their children have their death benefits, they can adopt them.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Edmondson.
Well, in all seriousness, step-parents do not always have the option to adopt. Representative Johnson, and my family is a case in point.
I recognize that, but if in that case they have the child has still a parent there. I mean, you've got a father, for example, of a divorce situation, and the stepfather now marries the child's mother. If that stepfather dies, the child still has his original father. I mean,
thank you, Representative Johnson. Further discussion. Is there a motion on?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2593 to the floor.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2593 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2593, having received the required number of votes, is passed to the floor. Representative Edmondson, would you like to carry this bill? Thank you very much. Close the work session on House Bill 2593. Open the work session on House Bill 2596. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what House Bill 2596 does is allow or gives the juvenile court, gives the juvenile court the discretion to have docketed a juvenile restitution order which has not been completed by the juvenile's 21st birthday, which is when the juvenile court loses jurisdiction over that child. By doing this, by using the procedures that are currently in place for docketing of restitution orders or judgment orders, it gives victims some additional recourse if restitution has not been paid.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Representative Clark.
I think it may be important to point out that we did make an amendment which changed my mind on the bill and allowed me to support it. It makes the docketing of the restitution orders permissive at the discretion of the judge rather than mandatory. And my view was, last session, when I voted against this bill, was I was not convinced that we ought to saddle people coming out of the juvenile justice system by doing this, by making the docketing at the discretion of the court. It makes me much more comfortable with the whole process. Leave it in the court's judgment as to whether or not that's appropriate in each case.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Further discussion? Representative Mannix.
Excuse me. For the record, I move House Bill 2596 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
As amended? Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2596 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Representative Bauman.
Just one concern, and I wasn't at the subcommittee meeting when we discussed the bill. So my concern is that I think it's extraordinarily difficult for a judge to, even though it is permissive, I think the situation that exists is that the juvenile has a victim, in many cases victims who are very angry, and I think juvenile court judges find themselves in an awkward position of being assigned by the state to really act in the best interest of the child who is also the defendant, okay, but also has some citizens in court who are very unhappy and maybe don't share the same purposes as the construction of the laws would require the judge to hold. And I guess my concern is it's going to be very difficult to exercise this as a discretionary matter, and I think it's going to become really mandatory in the presence of a victim, which is whenever restitution exists. I guess what I'm kind of doing is asking if you could, Representative Clark, maybe put my concerns to rest a bit. I don't know what the testimony was. I know the bill was up last session, and I opposed it on the same basis that you just explained. I mean, it seems that we have a policy about keeping the juvenile court system separate and then allowing people to outgrow what they did when they were young whippersnappers, as Representative Carter might say, and come into society as adults with a clean slate.
Mr. Chair, if I could just respond.
Representative Clark.
I'm not sure I can put your concerns at rest other than to say that if I were a juvenile court judge, I would be reluctant to do this in situations other than when I thought that the juvenile, A, had a reasonable chance of paying the judgment. Why have a judgment hang on someone for 8, 10, 12 years if that individual is not going to be able to pay it? And B, where I felt like that in one form or another the juvenile justice system wasn't finished with this individual yet, and that the additional accountability of having to pay the restitution order would work in that juvenile's best interests, and that would be the determination I would try to make if I were a judge. Other than that, I'm not sure I can put your concerns at rest.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Further discussion?
A jurisdiction question. Would this then be docketed outside the jurisdiction of the juvenile court so that it would occur?
Yes. Civil judgment.
Civil docket.
So it would occur upon the child's turning 18.
Further questions? Further discussion? Representative Edmondson.
As I recall from last session, the law provides that parents of children are civilly liable for intentional torts of their children. And so the situation could occur where the parents' judgment may survive the offenders being coming of age and no longer being responsible for restitution. So to that extent, I don't know if that satisfies Representative Ballin's concerns, but it does bring that into some sort of parity.
Further discussion? There was a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix's motion is hearing no further discussion. The clerk will call the roll on House Bill 2596.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Representative Baumann?
Yeah.
Pondering.
Yes.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Ferry?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2596, as amended, is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix, would you carry this bill on the floor, please? Thank you very much. Close the work session on House Bill 2596. Open the work session on House Bill 2459. Counsel, share with us some of the letters you received on this bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I haven't received any letters yet. House Bill 2459 deals with Department of Motor Vehicle accident reports. Currently, the Department of Motor Vehicles sells accident reports at a quarter a pop to attorneys who take the information from them and include them in direct mail solicitations to the accident victims. House Bill 2459 does two things. First, it prohibits the Department of Motor Vehicles from releasing accident reports to people who will use them to contact someone for commercial purposes, and that includes solicitation of clients by an attorney, and it also creates a Class C misdemeanor for the offense of using division accident records for commercial purposes. After Ms. Remington from the American Civil Liberties Union testified at the last hearing, I did some research on whether the committee could pass out a bill that would whether this bill would run afoul of some free speech provision in the state constitution. This does not appear to be a bill that restricts speech. It does not ban direct mail. It does not restrict when direct mail can be done or how it can be done. It does not restrict the content of those letters, because the information that attorneys want to put in these letters is available in other places. It simply gets the state out of the business of helping to chase ambulances. However, the bill does allow some people to use information and others not to. And I have some concern that a court may later send this back to the legislature for reworking, because there is very broad language in some cases that says you simply can't pass a law that treats one kind of speech differently from another.
Appreciate your non-inflammatory description, counsel.
Mr. Chairman,
question?
Yes.
Representative Mannix.
I move House Bill 2459 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Let me place the motion. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2459 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion, Representative Vice Chair Mason.
Well, this is not a bill to die for, but I tend to think that counsel is on to something, and my instincts tell me there's probably more here even than that. Just the idea that these records are going to be available, but they're not going to be available for commercial solicitation. I might add they'd probably be available for political solicitation. The records, the DMV records, would still be available, wouldn't they?
Here.
Representative Clark.
I think the answer is yes, because the effect of the amendment, if I remember right, counsel, was to sort of limit it to clients, customers, other people. I don't think constituents was in there anywhere.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, The bill broadly defines commercial purposes, simply listing in it as one example, a solicitation of clients by an attorney. I would interpret the amendments to permit the use of DMV accident reports for political solicitations.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
One other comment, just so the committee will know, I plan to go to the Senate with a proposed amendment that would narrow that would define the basic purpose of the DMV accident reports, outlaw use of the reports for any purpose other than the stated statutory purpose, with the following narrow exceptions, and those would be basically the ones that were written in the bill now. I would do that as an attempt to get around any conceivable constitutional arguments, because I think at that point you make very clear what the purpose of the bill is, and you're not saying you can use it for any purpose except commercial. You're saying you can use it, you can't use it for any purpose other than the stated statutory purpose and a few exceptions. I don't think it at all defeats the purpose of the bill. I think, in fact, it strengthens the bill, but I wanted to let the committee know that I planned to do that on the Senate side.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
We did in committee work over the notion at one point of using a right to privacy language and putting extensive language in. We backed off and went back to the commercial purposes language because it was simpler and more straightforward, and certainly the Senate may wish to consider some other alternatives. I want to emphasize that we're so used to the public records law in Oregon that we take it almost as a constitutional right. Actually, the only reason these records are available to anybody is because we, as a matter of public policy, have passed a law that virtually all records are public records and have to be available. We could today pass a law that says nobody gets to see these accident reports. Now, at some point, there may be constitutional issues of access for someone who's charged with a crime, someone involved in a motor vehicle accident, et cetera, et cetera. So when this issue is ever analyzed from a free speech perspective, we need to back off for a moment and remember that our assumption regarding access to these records is affected by what we do in Oregon. And until a few years ago, we might not have provided these records to anyone. We're simply limiting the public records law in regard to the access to these records and the uses to which people may use these records once they've accessed them.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Representative Vice Chair Mason.
For the question of Representative Mannix or counsel, as I read the amendments, you can only solicit by attorneys. What if a physical therapist wanted to solicit people who have been, or perhaps physical therapists, chiropractors, counselors, any other professional groups that have a typical relationship with accident victims? Could they solicit?
We started out, and actually one of the amendments was going to list some different kinds of people who may want to use them for those purposes. Instead, we went back to and left it in. We decided to focus on the problem that was presented to us, which is attorneys soliciting business by using accident reports. And we were not provided with any information that anyone else was doing it. But we didn't close the door to saying, because in our definition of commercial purposes, we say it includes but is not necessarily limited to. And I would say, yes, if a physical therapist, well, actually, they're not able to be attending physicians. Someone who can get direct access, medical doctors, if they're sending letters to accident victims saying, see me first, I'll give you cut rates. They probably would be limited by this legislation.
Thank you. It's my recollection we had testimony that others were sending out some solicitations.
Probably was out of the room, Mr. Chairman.
That was chiropractors with them, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Baum, for that information. Representative Bryan.
No, Mr. Chair, I'm just going to make the comment that it's interesting that we'd be limiting, I support the bill, but we're limiting commercial application of accident records, but we're not discussing limiting commercial application of all other DMV records, which is there's a lot of bothersome areas there as well. There's a lot of things. But anyway,
that's correct.
Some other things had been answered before I commented, so I'll stop.
Thank you, Representative Bryan. Further comments, questions? Council, this has been amended with the -3s, correct?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Thank you. All right. Representative Mannix, I believe, moved House Bill 2459 as amended to the floor. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
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 Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri? Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2459, as amended, has received the required number of votes, is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix, your name appears on still another bill. Terrific. Thank you. Close the work session on House Bill 2459. Open the work session on House Bill 2250. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I see no constitutional problem with House Bill 2250. This is Representative Mannix's bill that would specifically allow the use of certified mail with a return receipt whenever registered mail is required throughout the Oregon Revised Statutes. In each time somebody mails something by certified mail with a return receipt instead of registered mail, they'd be saving approximately $2.50.
Kind of a target group. Thank you, Counsel. Is there a discussion on House Bill 2250?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move House Bill 2250 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2250 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I'd just like to thank the League of Oregon Cities for their letter of support, which you're receiving right now.
Registered or certified?
Hand-delivered.
Hand-delivered, even better.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Mannix. Is there further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, we'll call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2250 is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some people have to lead, some people have to carry the water, Mr. Chairman.
Close the work session on House Bill 2250. That one may have constitutional problems. Open the work session on Senate Bill 402. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 402 corrects mistakes that came up in the printing of the Oregon Control Share Act. The bill contained references to this act, and after the last session, Legislative Council replaced this act with specific cites to provisions in the Oregon Revised Statutes. However, some of the provisions to which Legislative Council cited did not, in fact, belong in this act. This bill deletes them.
Thank you, Counsel. Comments on Senate Bill 402? Is there a motion on Senate Bill 402?
This is the wolf.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move Senate Bill 402 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Representative Mannix moves Senate Bill 402 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, we'll call the roll.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I just want to say it was time we did something about controlled substances in this state.
No. Controlled acts.
Share acts. Controlled share acts. Thank you, Representative Vice Chair Mason. No further discussion. The clerk will call the roll on Senate Bill 402.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Yes, no problem.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 402 is passed to the floor. Representative Baum.
I move that Representative Mason be declared unanimous consent to have to carry this bill.
He wants it back.
Well,
it's a drug bill.
I object.
Are you trying to?
If I can carry it as a drug bill, I'll take it.
Representative Baum will carry Senate Bill 402 to the floor. Close the work session on Senate Bill 402. Open the work session on House Bill 2127. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2127 is the Consumer Protection for Membership Campgrounds bill that was before the committee a couple of weeks ago. However, less than learned counsel failed to get the Dash 1 amendments included in the engrossed version of the bill. This requires a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments that are before you.
Thank you, counsel. Is there a motion on the Dash 1 amendments? Highly technical in nature. Representative Mannix.
I move adoption of the dash one amendment.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves the amendments entitled House Bill 2127-1. Is there objection to the amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2127 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Auction at a state.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bauman.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Representative Clark.
Aye.
Representative Edmondson.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Mannix.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative Parks.
Aye.
Representative Cinceri.
Aye.
Chair Miller.
Votes aye. House Bill 2127 is passed to the floor. Representative Bell, would you please carry this major piece of legislation? Thank you very much. Close the work session.
Mr. Chair, if we could arrange to have the cook in the House Lounge sing Tenting tonight on the day that this was on the floor, I think that would be appropriate.
Thank you. We will close the work session on House Bill 2127. Well, you know, they heard us that one day we said we would introduce every bill, and apparently they mistook that to mean we will hear any bill in the passing. All right, is there any further business?